When we're 50, I can hardly wait till we're 60, huh? I'm doing two things up here today. I'm going to call our attention. Well, before I do that, so three. Nice to have Kevin and Teresa Kopp in the house today. Would you just wave your hands over there, please? As you may remember, we have been supporting them for some time now, some years now, I believe, in their ministry to invent a written language to a people group in Nepal, translate the Bible into other exciting things are happening, including the Jesus film and so forth. But I was informed today that in March, did you say, is when you expect? That you're typesetting now? Getting ready to typeset, and in approximately spring of this coming year, could be ready to print. Is that true? And there, yeah, that's a big deal. They're getting God's word to a people group that could not otherwise have it in this way. And they're changing the very civilization of that place as well. And it's just a blessing to see you, both of you. Great to have you with us. And thank you for being here today. I want to do two other things. I want to lead us in prayer for Lexi. Would you stand with me, please? There are prayers that we can handle. There are requests that we can handle in the normal course of business. And the Lord hears them all. But sometimes there are desperate situations, and the scriptures give us accounts of those desperate situations. And my guess is that if it was your daughter who was being supported by heart and lung apparatus, it would be desperate, amen? And my guess is if you had a spiritual family back in Ottawa or wherever you're back from, you'd want to know they're with you, amen? I just want to read, so let me mention three. Lexi's the little girl, mom's name is Ashley, in case you've not met her, and dad's name is Marcus. So would you say the name Marcus? Would you say the name Ashley? Would you say the name Lexi? We're going to try to get those into our memory. I just want to read a brief little account of a father who had a daughter in trouble. Mark chapter 5, 23 and 24. He pleaded earnestly with him. Would you say earnestly? So many of our prayers, and I have no criticism of it, it's very appropriate. So many of our prayers are polite, appropriate. But there's a time, I'm looking at Vince in the house today, who's also rescued from the hospital bed. And so that's a good reminder for Faith, that Faith is in the house today. Good to see you, Vince. It's okay to pray calm, polite, normal prayers. But there are some prayers that should only be prayed earnestly. This father pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. I remember when it was my daughter. We didn't know if she was going to live. She was in St. Louis, neonatal intensive care unit. We were praying some earnest prayers. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him, and guess what? She lived. What's the little girl's name? I want us to pray earnestly today. You may not be used to that, but we just need to learn how to do that over time, okay? So just for practice, a little louder, say Lexi. Lexi. And now just for practice, God have mercy on Lexi. Say it. Be with Marcus and Ashley. Now in your own way, your own words, let's all raise our voices right now on behalf of Lord God in heaven. There is something that only you can do. And we call on the name Jesus that you would send your healing word to Lexi in the hospital. Lord, that you would restore her lungs. I'm remembering how you breathed life into Adam and then into Eve. Would you please breathe life into Lexi today? Heal those lungs and heal her heart and bring her out of that hospital. Be with mom and dad. Speak words to them. Make appearances to them that reassure them, to let them know that you have heard and you are with them and you are raising Lexi from that bed. Oh, Father, we bless you. I remember when you raised my daughter from her bed. I want you and I ask that you do this for Lexi. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. One other thing I want to pray about, and that is the election. How many think the United States needs prayer? How many think the church needs prayer in the context of all the politics? We need discernment. We need to not forget to be the church in this whole process. Don't you dare trade your loyalty to Jesus for Republicans or Democrats, either one. Jesus and his kingdom are first, amen? So it matters what we believe about how the world operates, and it matters how we do it. Jesus is not just the truth, he is the way that leads to life. And so I'm going to pray, and I'm not going to pray for a particular person or a particular party. You can have your opinion, and you need to have your opinion. In fact, I encourage you, be thoughtful this afternoon and tomorrow. Get on the internet, do a little research about the candidates. I personally went on to the LaSalle County government site to get a sample ballot so I could know what offices are being voted on, so I could do a little research. But then go vote with godly motives and a godly effort to do the right thing. Amen? But let's right now raise our voices on behalf of this nation. Lord Jesus, our nation needs you. Some will trust in horses. Some will trust in chariots. Some will trust in politics or a particular politician. We thank you for all those that serve our nation in Congress, in the Senate, in the office of the presidency, in all of the state offices and local offices. We thank you. We ask in Jesus' name your protection for their lives, that you will save them from violence and from harm. And Lord, we ask also in Jesus' name that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done on Tuesday of this week. Father, I pray for your church in particular. Help us to be examples of how to love even our enemies. Help us to be examples how to be kind even to those who've not always been kind to us. And let us in a godly manner do our homework. And we ask your touch on our nation in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. You may be seated. Now go, I'll see you at the election polls, all right? The other thing I want to do is I just want to do an honoring word on our birthday today and what we call Founders Weekend. I want to read briefly from John chapter 4. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad. And as we think about Founders Weekend, we have the sowers in the house, and we have us, the reapers, in the house, and it's all one great field and one great kingdom. Amen? Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you've not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you've reaped the benefits of their labor. How many in this room were not here 51 years ago? Would you raise your hand? You are part of the fulfillment of that scripture. You get to reap. How many here were here 51 years ago? One, two, three. I don't mean alive. I mean at Christ Community. not very many of us. We are all one team, amen? One people sharing one sowing and one reward. So today we celebrate 51 years of life together with God and each other in our efforts, by the grace of God, to advance the kingdom of God to all those who've walked through our doors and in all that we've reached outside these doors. One of the most important spiritual practices that we can engage in is to remember. During festivals of the Old Testament, a scribe or a priest would recount the mighty works of God in Israel's history, lest Israel forget. One of the great sins confronted in the epistles is that some had forgotten that what they had been redeemed from and therefore were caught up in their sin again. They needed to remember. Jesus, when he was instructing his disciples about communion, which we will do it later, urged them, do this in remembrance of me. Today, we remember. We remember that the harvest of blessings we enjoy began as a seed falling into the ground here in Ottawa. But what was that seed? Was it the arrival of John and Phyllis Nordstrom with their family in 1971? Was it the desire and efforts of a small congregation in Streeter who prayed and prepared a place for us? It was all of them and many more going all the way back to the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus himself. In the house today, we have John and Phyllis Nordstrom. Where are they at? I wonder if we could have you stand right now. Could we give them a hand of celebration? Why don't you go ahead and give them a standing ovation, huh? stay standing for just one more. Just stay with me for one more moment. In the house today is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Could we give him a hand of thanks? And in the house today are you who are both harvest and seed for others yet to come. Could we thank God for our privilege of participating in this? So you may be seated, and Mom, would you come join me, please? Mom was going to say just a few words. Good to have my dad back after being ill for a while, amen? He got a bad case of COVID, and he's not to full capacity yet, but we're looking forward to more progress. But today we're giving thanks to God as we honor our fathers and mother in the Lord. We're going to live long on the earth if we keep honoring. Amen. Mom, here's a card for you and Dad. And anything you want to say, let me get a microphone for you. Where's the white one? This one? Thank you. Mom, I'll stay with you.
All right.
Yep.
All right. It was dark this morning when I woke up because, you know, the time change. I was still on the other time. And my first thoughts were remembering how cold it was yesterday and rainy and just how terrible it was. And my next thought was, who in the world would start a church and at this season of the year? And so then I did my Bible devotions, and I turned to what it was that day, and if I can get it up here again, I'll do it for you.
Help.
Right side up, it helps.
Can I help you?
All right. I will get it here. Today's Bible verse was from Galatians 5:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. If we do not give up. Well, being a farmer's girl, daughter, I remembered harvest time, which is going on now. But there's another thing going on also, and that's called the planting of winter wheat. And I thought that's kind of what we were doing. You plant wheat just before it gets real cold and before everything starts freezing over, you plant wheat. Why would a couple come to a town they didn't know about, to a congregation which was zero and had only an empty building, is because of the call of God, and the doors began to open for us to come here, even though he had less than 3 weeks. Our first service, he had less than 3 weeks before he would die without a dialysis or a kidney transplant. But we've lived to see the reality of this verse. It says, in due season, you will reap.
Amen.
What you have planted. We had no idea. In winter wheat, it goes underground and it stays dormant for 3 or 4 months. And so when he left in November and had his kidneys removed, or December, I'm sorry, and then the transplant a few weeks later, it was a dormant time for us. Our family, we just were trying to hold it together. And that's kind of what happens with seed. It stays underground and just waits. It's germinated already, but nothing is showing. But then in April, on March the 17th, he came home from Mayo Clinic. And the things began to sprout up. And people began to come to the services. And many, many people came to know Christ who had never, ever walked with Christ before. And so today, my son is right, and I do appreciate my 4 children who were with us that day and are still serving Christ today. And they're teaching their children and their children's children, and I thank you for doing that. But I am so privileged to be living to see it. Mm-hmm. How many people get to, both of you, being still alive, 51 years later, I just want to give God praise, and I want to thank all of you for your faithfulness. Keep planting seeds.
Thank you, Mom. Very happy to introduce our next person. I'm not going to call him a guest, our next friend. Where's my friend? There he is. He's already there, like you're at home or something like that. Could we welcome Michael Evans, who's going to lead us to the Lord with music? And with teaching in just a few moments. No matter where you are, you're going to get to hear it and you're going to get to enjoy it. God bless you. God bless you, Michael.
Sing this hymn chorus with me. On Christ.
On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Let's sing that chorus again.
Less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Darkness seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Jesus. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all of my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
You know, unless I love hymns and you sing it and I've sung it forever. The solid rock. But it's when you go through stuff that the words start to leap off the page. You know, it's unless you've been in a situation where all of your soul does give way and you hang on to he that cannot give way and he becomes your hope and stay. But if you've not been through the situation, understandable, understandable. But if you've been through stuff where you had no other answer, no other solution, no other hope except for, and if you've been in a situation where you have literally felt all other ground slipping away, where somehow just when you feel like you can't hold on and nothing can hold you, all of a sudden he's got you. And sometimes you don't even know that he's got you until after you've been gotten. And you look back and you say, whoa, I didn't realize it, but he had me. He had me. These 51 years, you've got to be kidding. There's stories that you could tell, and there's stories that you would never even know to tell because of what God did in the backstory to make this all other ground is sinking stand. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my. Let's stand and let's sing this one more time. We'll sing it a little quicker. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Bless God, you may be seated this morning. Bless God. Among us. Not like the IKEA I put my bed together, not those kind of beds, though there's a place in the kingdom for those. But I'm talking about straight up, I am a builder. Like, that's you? Okay. Who else? your builder. Straight up houses. A house was not there. Now a house is there. I signed the bottom and we're good. Okay. Who else? Any other builders among us? Okay, we have some builders up here. Yeah, tell me about it. So we have some builder. That was not, now it is. Builder. Wow, thank you for spacing yourself throughout the congregation. Now, builders. Oh, and builders, I'd self-identify one more time just so we get a clear picture. A builder, brother builder, brother builder, brother builder, brother builder. One in each section. How many of you have hammered a nail? Now, those nail hammerers, would you stand up? Let's identify those who have. All right. Thank you. Nail hammerers, you can sit down. Builders, would you stay standing? Okay. Builders, you sit down. Nail hammerers, one more time. The nail hammerers. Okay, thank you. And the builders, one more last time. The builders. Now, brother builder, if you were building a house, property, a lot of land, you're building a house, and you needed folks to work with you, why don't we just send some of the nail hammerers to your site? You don't even have to show up because we'll take care of it. We'll just take care of it. Make sure that there are plenty of hammers and plenty of nails. Okay, you didn't even let me finish and you feel like that's not a good proposition. Sir, though we're all offended at your lack of regard for our contribution to your house, why are you so resistant to that idea? Thank you, Brother Builder. Thank you, Brother Builder. Brother Builder in the back, would you be happy if we all just showed up on your site without your presence there to do what we do best, the hammering of nails? We're uncomfortable with your supervision. We can hammer nails. Again, high level of offense here this morning. Okay. Then we have surround sound. They're like, and guidance and supervision. And guidance. I get it. So you're saying it's not that you're not, you would welcome our contribution at some point. Brother Builder, I'm not convinced, but for the record, we'll put that you enthusiastically agreed to our support, but that is not what occurred. Okay, so Brother Builder, so you, how do you feel about us showing up, a handful of us, to your site? Well, we're skilled. Maybe you missed that part. We're skilled nail hammerers. Well, we can use our hammer and nail on the air conditioning unit, but no, you're saying. Well, it doesn't quite make sense. Just because we can hammer nails, we can't just go and build a building because we need supervision. We need direction. We need the right tool for the right goal. We can't just show up with our hammers and nails because if we do, potentially, we could end up doing more damage even if we stayed busy for a day. Even if we stayed busy for a week. Even if we stayed busy for years hammering nails. If we are not hammering according to design. If we are not being supervised in what we're doing, all of our good idea of hammering could be counterproductive and could never lead to the house that is trying to be built, even though we wear ourselves out hammering nails. The scripture says in Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, it doesn't say this, but we're hammering foolishly. Let me read the right scripture so that you know I do honor the scripture. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Unless the Lord supervises what's going on. Unless the Lord designs what we're building. Unless the Lord orders what we're doing. All of our best effort is in vain. You know, a building, I'm sure I could hammer some nails, but if you're unfamiliar with the building plans, if you're disconnected from what is trying to be built, and you come to the table with your best idea, unless the Lord is architecting things, unless the Lord is designing things, it's what the Lord is giving birth to. It's what the Lord is doing. It's what the Lord's ideas are. It's what the Lord's trying to accomplish. It's what the Lord's trying to do in the earth. When we're connected with the architecture, the architect, it gives our work meaning. When we're disconnected from design, our work is foolish. And I'm telling you, one of the reasons why too many are so worn out and out of sync is they are spending so much time hammering where the Lord doesn't want them to hammer. They're working on buildings He's not making. They're working on projects that He's not authored. They're busying themselves with activity that He's not designed for them. But they're busy and they're working and they're trying to get credit for hammering. But your hammering's not helpful if it's not connected to design. There could be some things that you're doing right now that you've done so long and so often and you even do so well. But how long has it been since you've even checked the architect plan to make sure you're still supposed to be doing it? Unless the Lord builds the house. Unless the Lord builds the house. See, Solomon would understand this well. He wrote it. He built the temple. He understood building. It's part of David's house. He understood building. A royal line. He understood building. But when it came time for him to lead, this is what he said. He said, I understand building. But Lord, what's your design for the house? I understand leadership. I understand the kingdom. I understand king. I understand rulership. David taught me. He's my father. My father was a king. I understand being king. But I need wisdom to know how to submit all of this hammering with your current design for Israel. The issue is not that I don't know how to be a king. I don't need wisdom to be a king. I need wisdom to know how my king fits into your kingdom. I'm not asking you because I don't know. I'm asking because you know more than I do.
There are seasons when I've played the piano and I love to play. There are seasons where that's not what God needs from me according to design. And I have done things in season according to design. And I have done things out of season, not according to his design, but according to my good idea. And it's like showing up to your work site or your work site or your work site with my hammer and nails, but disconnected from the design. God, what are you designing? And how do I participate in what you are designing? And then the design shifts. That's why the supervision. Because there's some times where you might tell your people, hey, I know this was a direction that we weren't going, but we're changing the design a little bit. So it's not this once and done. You have to stay connected with the designer to know what your purpose in the mix is. I think of this church here in Ottawa, 51 years of loving and serving and pastoring and welcoming. This place knows how to counsel and how to serve and how to help and how to rescue and how to journey with. And how to be hospitable and how to open hearts and open homes and open Bibles. Teaching and preaching and worshiping. Joining with other churches, supporting ministry, supporting businesses, loving God, loving. But God, in this season, in this moment, so that we're not just swinging a hammer, what do you have for us now? It's not that we can just pick up and say, well, we've been doing this for 20 years. Because maybe that's not what God's building now. Maybe it's what God had been building. But God, today, what are you building? And how do we lend our best gifts to what you're building? And how do we suspend some things that aren't necessarily part of this moment of building? Martha and Mary invited Jesus to their house, and Martha was busy with a lot of things, making sure that the house was set. And Mary sat down at the feet of Jesus, and Martha said, come on, we got things to do. And Jesus said, leave her alone. Mary at my feet has chosen the better part. Because for this time and for this season, this is what's required in this season. There'll be another time to do this and that. But for this season, friend, there is nothing more damaging to your walk with God than to be out of sync with him. Than to try to bear fruit out of season. To try to perform and produce without his supervision or direction or design. Takes us going back to the architect and saying, I know what I've done. I know what we've built in the past. I know that house we did by the lake and that house up in the mountains. I know what we did. But Lord, for what you're building right now, what do you require of me now? In Matthew 25, Jesus was angry with people and said, depart from me, I never knew you. But they said, but Lord, we did this and we did this in your name and we did this and we served you in this way and we helped you in this way. And he said, I know you did all those things, but you were disconnected from design. So you were hammering day and night. You did all kinds of great stuff, but you were so disconnected from the architect that you were building something that I wasn't. John 15 says it this way, I am the vine and you are the branches. It's only as you stay connected to me that you produce anything that matters. And God's people, here's the sad news. We have so learned how to do church with or without the architect. We can go out and just hammer, boom, 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 boom. And we forget to even consult that it's his building that we're working on. We've held on to some things that he would probably be okay if we let go of. We've neglected things that he would probably want us to pay attention to. That's why Jesus and the Pharisees had such a big problem throughout the Gospels. They said, we're building, we're building, we're building. He says, you're not building what God's building. So yeah, you're right, you're building. But you're not building what God's building. So he said, all your effort in building isn't really oh, God, that we would bear fruit in season. That we would celebrate fruit in another season, but that we would inquire of the Lord of what does fruit in this season look like? Just because you can hammer doesn't always mean you should. So please don't guilt me if for a season I need to do something different and it's not time for me to hammer because that's not what God has for me. But please, when it is my time to hammer, please nudge me, push me, encourage me, make sure that I'm hammering as I'm supposed to. But don't guilt me into hammering when I'm not supposed to. Oh, I don't know if that makes sense. I don't know if it makes sense. But Lord, what are you building? And how do I participate with what you're building? And what he gives you to do might be different than what he gives her to do. So don't be distracted and look at her and say, but she's not doing it according to the design he has for you. And he might give you all something different than he gave them. But it's all right. Don't get distracted. Just focus on what he's calling you to do in this season. And what he's had you do years ago. Praise God. But inquire of the architect today. And just sometimes every day you just say, hey, are we still on project? Whatever. Check in with him. Check in with him. Are there any course corrections? Is there any new thing that I need to understand in order to do my job well? Sometimes there are folks who haven't checked in with the architect in years. And they're doing great things, but it's disconnected. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. The beauty of it is we don't have to feel overwhelmed as though we have to do it all. Because our Lord has so many resources at his disposal. So don't feel like you have to, well, I have to hammer and I have to. No. You do what he's calling you to do. And that makes room for God to do with another person what he's calling them. And another person, you don't have to be plumber and electrician. You just do your plumbing. Someone else will do the electric. Someone else will follow behind and do insulation. You just do your part and God brings it all together. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. So we trust him with wherever he calls us to serve. And we serve as unto the Lord. And we do it well. And Peter says, I'm reminded it is the Lord Jesus that I'm serving. So if I'm connected to him, doing what he's asking me to do, and you happen to have another script for my life, I would rather submit. Because it might not make sense to you, Noah, why the Lord's having you do something that no one else is doing. But if you're faithful, Noah, and you do what God's calling you to do, even when it doesn't make sense and it doesn't rhyme with what others are doing, but in due season, it will make sense. So you build not according to what other, no one else is building a boat. So if Noah was only doing what he saw other people doing, there would be no boat. There's got to be some people who are willing to do not what others are doing, but what he is doing. So Noah, you don't see anyone building a boat. No one's talking about animals. No one's trying to be a zookeeper. But for you, this is what he has for you. So you build according to his design, even when it doesn't make sense. And in due season, in due season, it will start to make sense. And we throw him up on every nursery wall and we say, whoa, Noah, he did so well. But Noah, for a season, was out of step with everyone else, but in step with God. What right now are we missing out on? What does God want to birth in the earth? What does he want to do? But he needs people who will listen to his design. Even if we have to forget some of the former things. So good people. I'm interested here in Ottawa. God, what are you doing? I've been in and around Ottawa, it seems, for 30 years. And have loved being here, but it's a good question. God, what do you have in mind for us now? And it's okay if it's something different or enhanced or added to. God, what do you have for us now? Then in our own lives, God, what do you have for me now? Where are you working, right? How can I join you in what you're doing now? Give me this day my daily bread. Help me to follow hard after you. Today. And this is what I'm going to pray. I don't know if this is a nice prayer to pray, but I'm just going to pray it. That the Lord would quickly identify any area in your life where you're doing something that's not according to his design. Now, it could be something sin and wrong that's just not healthy or helpful for you. But here's what's tricky. We can sort of identify those things. It could also be something that's good or habitual or comfortable or something for which you receive affirmation for, so you kind of want to stay in that space. But if it's not according to God's design, the applause of men is no match for the applause of heaven. So if there's something, does this make sense? You don't have to raise your hand to identify, but just what I'm saying makes sense. Just raise your hand so I can just, yes, Brother Builder, thank you. If there's something in our lives that needs to be chiropractic adjusted, God, straighten us up. So Lord, I do pray. And I'm looking, I'm praying, eyes wide open, because I just want to see. I'm praying for these, your people. Father, that there would be a fresh wind from heaven through this place. Father, that as plans and ideas, as strategies, as retreats are developed for this place, that they would take time and you would reveal your plans to see what you're building and what their contribution to your ongoing building is. Pray for Pastor John and the leadership here that they would follow hard after you like Solomon. I know how to lead, but in this season, what am I to do? But Lord, I pray for individuals here too and families. And Lord, I even pray that you would do this in a dramatic way. I pray that you would do this in a dramatic way, that you would highlight those things that we're supposed to keep on doing because they're consistent with design. And that you would highlight those things that we need to release because they're no longer part of your design and they're heavy for you. You know it because it's heavy for you. So Lord, I pray for extra time consulting you for design so that we can be like in Psalms 1, planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth fruit in season. Lord, if our relationships need to shift because there were certain people who are in our life for a certain season, but now those same people are not helpful in this, help us according to design. Help us according to design. Unless you build the house, unless we honor you as architect and designer, our hammering is in vain. May that not be true of us. May that not be true of us. And I'm sorry. As I go to sit down, let me just say this. I'm sorry because the church has kind of done this. And I don't mean Ottawa here. I'm just saying in general. And I'm not saying here at all, but I feel we've used guilt and manipulation to get people to do a lot of things. In season or out of season, this is what I need you to do. That's not at all how God designed his church to function. So in your life, different churches, different places, I don't know, maybe you've been in situations where people have even pushed you to do something that you didn't feel was what God had for you to do, but it was just. Maybe today I'm just encouraging you to separate people's poor choices and behavior from a God who simply invites you into what he's doing. It's neither coerced or pressured or forced. It's invited and welcomed. Thank you. Thank you. Unless the Lord builds the house, you labor in vain. The Lord bless you in all that he is doing and building in and around you. Bless God.
Thank you, Michael. Would you stand with me, please? This is the first Sunday of the month, and we have a tradition on the first Sunday of the month as we take communion together. When Jesus took bread on that particular Last Supper, he broke it. It was time to tear down, is what he was saying. His temple was, the temple of his body was going to be torn down. But he, oh, thank you. I do. Are they close? Sure. I like it that he's looking out for our kids to join us in this. Amen. Nobody typically likes a tearing down season. But Jesus in front of them commemorated, symbolized. This is the time it is. He also promised them, and he promised, prophesied earlier than that, and in 3 days, it'll be up again. Truth is, he's still building his church, still building his temple. And we are at least one of the rooms in it. We thank God for that. Amen? We're going to let our children gather with us, and here's how we do it. Well, let me explain it first. I'm not sure your particular spiritual background, but you may think that to take participate in communion, you need to be sinless. I don't believe that. When Jesus invited people to that first Last Supper, they were not sinless. Judas was there. Peter was there, who was about to be unfaithful. Thomas was there, the doubter. All of them were there. They're going to scatter. What Jesus did say to be careful was to discern the body. That's not in some theological, like, is that really his flesh or not? It's discern each other. Are you member? Not are you written down on the list, members? Are you welcome to the body, to the temple, to the table? And you are. Jesus said, I've eagerly desired to have this meal with you. If you accept the invitation today, you're just saying, I hear you, and I'm saying yes today. It's not about your perfection. It's about his generosity. So here's how we do it. If you'll move to the right, come and take one of these cups and go back to your seat and wait for further instruction, please. I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take the bread. In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Go ahead and peel that plastic film back. And when you're ready, take the cup. Let's bow our heads. It amazes me, Jesus, that you knowingly took that bread, gave thanks, and broke it, knowing what that breaking would mean. I want to bless you for the word that we've heard today. And I bless you, Jesus, that you knew how to discern your moment. You prayed that that moment would not have to be yours. Let this cup pass from me. You prayed three times, but you knew it was your moment. And you trusted, Father, not only to be a part of your breaking, but a part of your resurrecting. Into your hands, Father, we commit our spirits. And we trust you with any way that you will disassemble us, knowing that you will reassemble us, filled with your presence and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's how we're going to end today. There'll probably be some kids walking along the side of the road to pick up your plastic cups to throw them away for you. But Mike and the worship team are going to lead us in music one more time. When they're done, if you want to be prayed for, right over in this corner where the banner says prayer, we'll be happy to pray with you.
You know, let's just sing this simple that I was playing. Power, there is power, power, wonder. wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of...
Just one more time, that's it.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Bless God, bless God. Certainly be here to pray with anyone who would like prayer. Stay aligned. Stay connected. Keep checking in and build what he's building. The Lord bless you.